Father, just thank you for your Son and the cross, that a bunch of whosoevers like us, that's all we are. We're just whosoevers that made a decision for you. So, Father, just thank you. Be in this message today. Touch people's hearts. Open our ears to hear and open our hearts to receive in your Son's precious, precious name. So we'll start with John 5. I've been married 40 years. Some of you know my wife, and then you know me because you know my wife. And that I like that part because it takes away a lot of responsibility that I have. 40 years is a long time, and she's put up with a lot. She walked out on the patio the other day, and I'm sitting there. Of course, I'm retired. I'm sitting there, and she came up to me in the sweetest way, the way she always does, and says, "Are you going to do anything productive today?" And I said, "I'm doing exactly what the Bible says to do." And she said, "What's that?" I said, "The Bible says to watch the ants." So I'm out here watching the ants. I said, "It's amazing. By watching the ants, I have learned something." And she, "What's that?" I said, "They don't cook. They just do takeout." I said, "I watched this ant carry this giant potato chips back to his family." I said, "That's what I've learned." And she went in the house. John 5, starting at verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went into Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people were lying there, the blind and the lame and the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he learned that he had been in this condition for a long time. He asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirring. And while I'm trying to get in, someone goes ahead of me." Then Jesus said, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. You know, Jesus' words are eternal. He's eternal. He doesn't change. And he says that today to us in our situations that keep us paralyzed. Very few percentage of the people in the United States are physically paralyzed. We're emotionally paralyzed. If you go to a Walmart or a shopping mall or whatever, the government says just 2% of all the parking spaces have to be designated for physically handicapped people. But how many of us are crippled with bad marriages, with low self-esteems, with hidden sins? Do you think that's the way Christ wants his children to be? Absolutely not. You know, the man, the invalid, when he said, "Do you want to be healed. The man was so caught up in his condition for 38 years, and he was blaming it on other people. Sir, you don't understand. You don't understand. People keep cutting in front of me. And by the time I try, he'd been trying for 38 years. By the time I'm trying to get up there, but they're cutting in front of me and stepping on my fingers and all over, and they're not treating me fair, and I'm doing the best I can. I want to get healed, but that by the time I get up there, the water stops bubbling. And Jesus said, wait, you think I didn't know that? What do you think I'm here for? I am capable. I just ask you a simple question. Do you want to be healed? Just do you want to be healed? I know people that have been married for a long, long, long time. Let's say they were married 38 years, living in a marriage that's going nowhere. They have built up so many resentments, so many unforgivenesses. They're carrying around 38 years that turned them in their marriage just like the invalid. And the Holy Spirit comes and says one thing. Would you like to have your marriage fixed? Would you like me to make your marriage whole? And the man said, poof, you don't know my wife. Or the Holy Spirit speaks to the woman, you don't know my lazy husband. I would, but he won't. Go talk to him. I would love my marriage to be healed if only he could get his act together. He's the one. He's the one that's cutting in front of me when I'm trying to get in the pool. He's the one that's cutting in line and stepping on my fingers. I'm trying to get to the pool. And the Holy Spirit says, I don't need to know about your marriage. I just need to know if you want to make it right. If you want to be whole. If you want to be well. That's all I'm interested in. I'm not interested in when you met. What first caused this problem. I'm here to heal you. Now, are you interested? You know, there's so many believers that don't believe. They don't believe. They come to church. We have marriage problems. We have addiction problems. We have secret sins that we don't want to tell anyone. And I will promise you this. The Holy Spirit has visited you and asked you these things. I know because he asked me. If you're a child of God, I'm a child of God. He doesn't love me any more than he loves you. He wants the same thing for his people. He wants everybody to be whole. He wants everybody to be whole. Everybody. And so when he visits us, are we so preoccupied just like the invalid? Are we so preoccupied with our condition that when the Holy Spirit visits us and asks us a simple question, do you want to be well, we go, I got my problems. I think they're too big for you. I'm going to tell you a story, and it's a true story. It's not secondhand, and I'm not embellishing. And the reason that I say that is my wife is running around here somewhere, and you can get the real truth from her. Me, not so much. I carried a secret sin for years and years and years. Nobody knew it. But I had unforgiveness in my heart for someone. And it's like I gave everything else to God, but this one little thing I built a fence around, and I said, this is mine. Lord, you can't have this. I'm keeping this one. I'm keeping this one all to myself. And it was unforgiveness. And I was occupied with it. Now, take that unforgiveness situation, park it over here. When I was working before I retired, my office was a half hour from where I lived. And so I would regularly get in the car, go up the street, get ready to turn on the interstate. And I would pray for a half hour, turn the radio off, and I would, that was my time, my morning time with God, and it was wonderful. I didn't close my eyes when I prayed because I was driving. But I spent time with God. And one morning, I was driving up, and I got in the left-hand lane to make my left-hand turn to get on the merge. We've all been on the merge. You know how you get on the merge to get on the interstate. And the light turned red, and I was sitting there. And I said, Lord, I got nothing this morning. I don't know what to pray about. And instantly, listen now, instantly he said, why don't we deal with that unforgiveness you've got? Why don't we deal with that? I didn't pray. I just agreed. Here's the Holy Spirit. He loves me enough. He knows the rubbish that I've got. He knows that. I stand naked before him. We all do. But he loves us beyond our capabilities of understanding that. And he said, why don't we deal with this? Get you cleaned up. Because I love you. And I just agreed. You just agree. You don't have to have a big lofty prayer. You don't have to speak in certain things. You just agree. In your heart, you're agreeing. And so, by the time I turned left to get on the merge, I got on the merge before I got on the interstate, which only takes like 10 seconds. He had done the work. He had done the work. It wasn't days or weeks or months, and I didn't have to get involved in it. I didn't have to go to a clinic. I didn't have to go to a workshop. He is able. If we are willing. I said, yes. He said, it's finished. It's done. I got on the interstate. It was done. And it has stayed done. It wasn't a temporary thing. It was done. I was healed. I was whole from that thing that was keeping me a prisoner. Hey, you want to have a relationship? Here's God. There's God. There's us. And here's something between us. Right? He wants to abide with us. He wants to clean us up, keep us clean. He can take us from where we are that we can't get out of on our own and pick us up and put us someplace where there's no way that we could have gotten there by ourselves. That's how good he is. That's what he wants for us. So whatever holds you, whatever has you prisoner, whatever keeps you hostage, don't forget that there's a God that says, do you want to be well? Do you want me to make you whole? Only thing you got to do is say yes. Only thing you have to do is say yes. And our mat is our willingness. Pick it up and walk. Walk away from that situation. And don't do that. And don't play with it. He says, walk away. He means business. Not like this. I wonder if that's still over there. Get away from it. Get way away from it. Get away. So much better. You know, Pastor Schaller said that Satan wants us to be orphans. That he wants us to believe that we don't have a father, that we have no one. And That man, that invalid that was laying on the mat, I can just see this, okay? Picture this, that he's laying on the mat in all of his despair. And he hears something. And he looks up and hears this silhouette between him and the sun. That's what he sees. The man says, "Do you want to be well?" And that picture, I keep this verse, it just won't leave me. It just stays with me all the time. It's so wonderful and so powerful and so correct. You know, I thought, and this is going off of scripture, it doesn't say, but I thought, you know, why did he want that man healed? Why? There's other people. Why did he pick that man? And this man's world was so small. Been there at the healing pool. Probably couldn't raise up more than 2 feet. Couldn't go anywhere. But he made him walk. He made him whole. Now he can walk all over the world and tell people, there's a man named Jesus that did this to me. He made me whole. And there are people that are married that God be, oh, that if God fixes your marriage, if you trust him and you pick up your mat and walk, he will get 100% guaranteed. 100% guaranteed. You don't think that he looked down at the invalid and said, "Hey, would you like to be healed? Now listen, we're going to try real hard. We're going to try hard. Can you just wiggle a toe? Let's start with the toe. Can we get a toe going? See if you can lift up your leg." He didn't do that. Do you want to be made well, whole? Pick up your mat and walk. That's how quick he can come through and how totally he can heal something. Totally. Not 90%, but 100%. Forever. Forever. If any of you know me, you know I've been married 40 years and it hadn't been a walk through the garden. And my wife never, ever said one negative thing while I was out there acting like an idiot. Not to her neighbors, not to the body, not to my children. In a man's craziness, when he's making bad decisions, you can't look at too much of that. It's going to drive you nuts. When you know how you're acting and your wife is not reacting, she's just praying, loving you. For some older people, treating me like I'm Ozzie Nelson. Millennials, you got to look it up. You can't see too much of that. You can't watch your wife treat you with the kind of love that Christ treats you, loves you with. You got to go home. I thought I was mad at my wife, but it wasn't. I was mad at me. And I'm running from God. And I think, I'm going to go way out to Arizona. And so I told my wife, "Good luck, I'm leaving." And I went out to Arizona. Guess what? He was there and said, "What took you so long? You can't run away from God. He's there. If you are his child, he is there. He will not leave you. He wants to make you whole. He wants to make you perfect. Not because that's a works thing for him. He loves you." Now listen. And it will happen because I've been praying about it. The next time the Holy Spirit visits you with your secret little sin, with the one that no one knows about, and he whispers in your ear or in your heart or however he does it with you, and he said, would you like to take care of that problem? Would you like to be whole? Pick up your mat, please, and walk. Say yes. Pick up your mat and walk. Amen? Yes. Amen.
Helena, she's in Baltimore now, from Finland. Awesome. Okay, our next speaker comes to us from the great city of Paris. Would you welcome Pastor Michel Texier?
Bonjour à toutes et à tous.
Morning to everyone.
Donc je me présente, Michel Texier, comme il a été dit, je suis pasteur à Paris depuis 25 ans.
My name is Michel Texier, I've been pastoring in Paris for 25 years.
Et d'ailleurs nous allons fêter nos 25 ans au mois de septembre.
Actually in September we are celebrating our 25th anniversary.
Et nous aurons le plaisir d'avoir la visite de pasteur Chaleur.
And we'll be blessed to have Pastor Chaleur as our guest speaker.
Et on va passer vraiment un bon temps.
Really good time.
Donc je suis marié et j'ai un enfant de 14 ans.
And I'm married, and I have a daughter of 14 years old.
Et je suis l'ami de Philippe Serraji.
And I'm a friend with Philippe Serraji.
Donc le thème de cette conférence est autour de ce verset d'un Corinthiens chapitre 12.
Our theme for the conference is around this verse in 1 Corinthians 12.
Verset 31.
Verse 31.
Où l'apôtre Paul propose aux Corinthiens une voie plus excellente.
In which the apostle Paul is offering to the Corinthians a more excellent way.
Et c'est intéressant parce que ça sous-entend qu'il y a des voies qui sont excellentes.
It is actually interesting because it actually means that there are excellent ways.
Et ça peut être un piège.
But it could be a trap to have just an excellent way.
Parce que la voie est excellente.
Because it is an excellent way.
Mais il y en a une qui est plus excellente.
But there is a more excellent way.
Si on se place sur le terrain du légalisme, par exemple.
So if you think about legalism, for example.
La loi est bonne.
The law is good.
Elle est même excellente.
The law is excellent.
Elle est parfaite.
The law is perfect.
Mais il y a une voie plus excellente.
But there is a more excellent way.
C'est la grâce et la vérité qui sont venues par Jésus-Christ.
Grace and truth that came through Jesus Christ.
Et la difficulté que nous avons souvent dans notre vie quotidienne,
and as a Christian, the daily difficulty that we encounter,
c'est d'arriver à discerner cette voie.
Is to be able to discern that more excellent way.
J'ai eu l'occasion de partager assez souvent un passage qui me tient beaucoup à cœur.
I've been able to preach on the verse that I really enjoy.
Que l'on trouve dans Proverbes chapitre 30.
It's Proverbs 30.
Il est dit au verset 18 et 19.
In verse 18 and 19.
Il y a deux et même quatre, il y a trois et quatre choses que je ne peux comprendre.
There be three things which are too wonderful for me, even four.
La trace de l'aigle dans les cieux.
The way of an eagle in the air.
Et l'aigle parle de la divinité.
And the eagle speaks about divinity.
Et Dieu fait une trace dans les cieux que l'on ne voit pas.
And God is leaving a trace that is invisible in the air.
Il fait une œuvre sur la terre et dans nos vies.
He does a work in this earth and does a work in our lives.
Et des fois, on n'a pas idée de tout ce qu'il fait.
And sometimes, many times, we don't have any idea that he's actually doing it.
On ne comprend pas.
Or we don't understand.
Et il y a une deuxième trace.
There is another trace here.
C'est la trace du serpent sur le rocher.
It is the way of a serpent upon a rock.
Nous savons que le serpent est le symbole du diable.
And we know that the snake here, the serpent, speaks about the devil.
Et il est assez facile de voir les traces du serpent sur la poussière.
When we have dust, it's pretty easy to see the way of a serpent.
On voit toutes ces traces dans le monde.
We see all the traces in the dust.
Et nous qui sommes tirés de la poussière, nous voyons les traces du diable dans l'humanité.
And as human beings, we are taken out of the dust, and we can see the way of a serpent.
Mais la trace du serpent sur le rocher, on a du mal à la voir.
But you cannot see the way of a serpent on the rock.
Parce que le rocher, c'est Christ.
Because the rock is Christ.
Et la vraie bataille, and c'est la bataille entre le diable et Jésus-Christ.
The actual real battle is between Christ and the devil.
Et donc le diable fait ses traces dans cette bataille.
So the devil is marking his way in the battles.
On voit ça dans le livre de Job.
We see that in the book of Job.
Vous avez la trace de Dieu.
We have the way of God, the trace of God,
qui envoie un test dans la vie de son serviteur.
Who sends a test in the life of his servant.
Mais vous avez la trace du diable aussi.
But you also have the way or the trace of the serpent.
Qui lui fait du mal.
Who hurts him.
Et vous avez une troisième trace, c'est la trace du navire.
We also have here a third way, which is the way of the ship in the midst of the sea.
Vous savez la trace d'un navire ou d'un bateau.
You know, when you look at a ship or a boat.
À ce site particulier, c'est qu'elle ne dure pas longtemps.
It actually makes a trace, but the trace disappears after a while.
Et ça parle de l'humanité.
It speaks about humanity.
Nous pouvons essayer de faire des traces.
We can try to leave our trace behind.
En français, il y a une expression, c'est tracer notre route.
In French, we have an expression that actually means that we trace our way.
Mais cette trace va disparaître.
But this trace will fade away.
Et on ne peut pas des fois la comprendre parce qu'on ne comprend pas ce que les hommes font.
And we don't understand because we don't always understand what men do.
Comment ils arrivent à faire des choses extraordinaires, à se sacrifier?
How can men be sacrificial in an amazing way?
Des fois, ça dépasse la compréhension.
And sometimes it's even beyond our understanding.
Et en même temps, il est capable de faire les choses les plus horribles qui soient.
And at the same time, man is able to do the worst possible things.
Les traces de l'homme sont incompréhensibles.
We don't understand the way of a man.
Mais il y a une autre trace.
And then there is a fourth one.
C'est la trace de l'homme dans le ventre de la femme.
The way of a man with a maid.
Là, ça parle d'une relation entre un homme et une femme.
It obviously speaks of a relationship between a man and a woman.
De la semence de l'homme dans une femme.
The seed of a man in a woman.
Et là, c'est intéressant parce que c'est aussi une trace qu'on ne peut pas contrôler.
It is also a trace that cannot control.
Qu'on ne peut comprendre.
That we don't really understand.
Et nous qui sommes parents, on peut comprendre ce verset.
And as parents, we understand the verse.
C'est qu'on attend un enfant.
Because you're expecting a child.
Et donc on se dit à qui il va ressembler.
And you wonder maybe who will be look like the most.
À la maman, au papa, au grand-père.
Will look like the man, the mother, the father, the grandparents.
Quelle sera la couleur de ses cheveux?
What hair color will he have?
Quel caractère il aura?
What will his character be like?
On se fait une idée.
We may have an idea.
Et puis après, il y a des surprises.
And then we have surprises.
Et il y a même des drames.
And sometimes even dramatic surprises.
Des handicaps.
Maybe some even handicaps.
On n'imaginait pas avoir un enfant handicapé. Pourtant,
I never thought I would have a child like this.
Et on ne comprend pas pourquoi ça arrive.
And we don't understand why.
Pourquoi moi?
Why me?
Et puis on peut éduquer notre enfant selon des directives que l'on s'est fixées.
And maybe you have ideas and you educate your child according to your convictions.
Et l'enfant peut ne pas s'y obéir quelques années plus tard.
And years later, maybe the child will not abide with those convictions.
Il va faire des choix qui ne seront pas ceux que nous aurions souhaités.
He will make the child will take choices, make choices that they actually you would not agree with.
On peut se poser la question, mais où ai-je fait une erreur?
And you may ask yourself, where did I do something wrong?
Qu'est-ce que je peux faire?
What could I do?
Mais c'est pareil dans plein d'autres domaines.
It's true in so many areas.
La Bible dit que si on sème de l'esprit, on récoltera de bonnes choses.
The Bible says if you seed with the Holy Spirit, you will reap the good things.
Mais est-ce que c'est toujours vrai?
But is it always true?
Ou est-ce qu'on comprend en fait ce que ça signifie récolter?
Or do we understand sometimes what reap means?
On peut s'investir totalement dans le travail, être intègre.
You can have integrity and be fully involved in your work.
Et être le premier à être licencié.
And still be the first to be laid off.
On peut se servir les uns, aimer les autres.
We could serve each other, love each other.
Et ils vont peut-être se retourner contre nous.
And maybe your own friends will go against you.
C'est pas ce que nous espérions récolter.
This is not what I thought I would reap.
Et donc on se retrouve avec des traces là de l'homme chez la femme.
And we have these traces that we were talking about.
Des choses que l'on a semées chez les autres.
Things that we planted as seed in others.
Et ça produit pas forcément ce que l'on voulait.
It does not always produce what we thought it would.
On peut se sacrifier, aller à l'autre bout du monde pour implanter une église.
You can sacrifice your life and go to the end of the world to plant a church.
Et être persécuté.
And be persecuted.
Martyrisé.
I'll be a martyr.
Toute l'histoire de l'Église nous parle
That's
de ça.
The church, the history of our church, of the church in general.
C'est pas la trace que l'on souhaitait.
This is not what the trace of the way we expected.
Et dans notre mariage, ça peut être la même chose.
Same thing in our marriage.
Et on fait tout ce qu'il faut faire, on respecte la voie excellente.
We do everything right, we go with the excellent way.
Tout ce que la Bible dit, nous le faisons.
And we do what everything the Bible says.
On essaye.
We try.
On est sincère.
We are sincere.
Et pourtant,
but
on a quand même un problème dans notre mariage.
We still have problems in our marriages.
Et ce qui fait qu'on se retrouve devant des situations où on cherche une autre voie.
And when we are in those situations, we try to find another way.
Si on est dans la chair, on va chercher la voie de l'amertume.
If we are in the flesh, we're going to go through the way of bitterness.
De la colère.
Or maybe of anger.
De la dépression.
The way of depression.
Et on se retrouve un peu dans des carrefours comme ce poteau là.
And we find ourselves in places where we have options like this.
En se disant mais où est-ce que je vais aller pour que j'aille mieux?
Like which signs should I follow for me to feel better?
Pour que la trace me plaise.
So that the trace would actually be pleasing me.
Parce que souvent on trouve un sens dans ce qui nous plaît.
Because we always find meaning in what we like.
Alors que parfois le sens à notre vie, c'est pas ce qui nous plaît.
But the meaning in our life is not always something that is pleasing to us.
C'est parfois, ça a du sens de se sacrifier.
And sometimes it could be meaningful to sacrifice ourselves.
Ça a du sens de perdre.
It could be meaningful to lose.
Et si je devais reconstruire un petit peu ce poteau là?
If I would use this sign as an example.
Vous voyez ce poteau, il a trois flèches.
You see there are three arrows in that sign.
En fait,
sign.
Les trois flèches, je les mettrais dans le même sens.
And I think those three signs could be directing in the same way.
Parce que parfois la question n'est pas de savoir quelle voie je vais emprunter de façon horizontale.
Because sometimes really the question is which way should I, follow horizontally.
Mais c'est quelle voie verticalement.
But which way up?
À quel niveau je me situe?
Where do I find myself? Which level do I find myself?
Est-ce que c'est ma trace?
Is it my way, my trace?
Est-ce que c'est la trace du système de ce monde, du diable?
Is it the trace of the way of the system of this world or the devil?
Ou est-ce que c'est la trace de l'aigle que je dois rechercher?
Or am I looking for the way of the eagle?
Et la trace de l'aigle, c'est la trace de l'amour.
And the way of the eagle is that love.
C'est une voie plus excellente.
It is the more excellent way.
Ma situation ne va pas forcément changer.
My situation may never change.
Mon chemin est étroit.
My way still be narrow.
Je me sens prisonnier de ce qui est en train de m'arriver.
I feel like I'm a prisoner or trapped in what is happening to me.
Mais la liberté, je vais pas forcément la retrouver de ce côté-là ou de ce côté-là.
But freedom doesn't mean I have a choice horizontally.
Mais je vais trouver la liberté dans l'esprit de Dieu, parce que là où il y a l'esprit, il y a la liberté.
But I will find freedom, liberty where the Holy Spirit is. That's what the Bible says.
Là où il y a la présence de l'aigle, il y a l'amour qui surpasse toute connaissance.
Where there is the presence of the eagle, then this is the love that surpasses all intelligence and knowledge.
Et ce qui fait que ça commence à donner du sens à ma vie.
And this gives meaning to my life.
Pourquoi? Parce que la voie qui est la mienne, c'est de connaître Dieu et la puissance de sa résurrection.
Because my way is actually knowing him and the power of his resurrection.
Et parfois je suis faible, comme dit Paul.
Sometimes like Paul, I can say I'm weak.
Je n'ai pas de solution.
I don't have a solution.
Mais j'ai toujours Dieu avec moi.
But I have God with me.
Et c'est ce que Job va comprendre à la fin du livre.
And this is what Job understands at the end of his book.
J'avais entendu parler de toi, mais
maintenant
je te vois. I heard
about you before, but now my eyes have seen you.
Et parce qu'on voit Dieu,
because we see God,
nous savons que nous sommes sur la bonne voie.
We know we are on the right way.
Que Dieu vous bénisse.
God bless you.
Don't worry, I still cannot pronounce my name correctly, so. Because it's in Arabic, so I'm also confused. So, yeah. So let me pray. Lord, help me to share what I experienced from your love in my life. And Lord, as I'm sharing that from your word, give me the right words and give me, Lord, the wisdom, and help me through your Holy Spirit, Lord, to speak what is in my heart, and let it be all for your glory. Amen. So, my name is Ubaid, something like that. But I didn't choose this name, so my parents, they just put that name on me. So, and it's an Arabic, and I'm not Arab, so I cannot pronounce that letter. So, Camel Skin. But my name, my first name on my documents is XXX XXX. So wherever I go, people call me Mr. Triple X. I say, oh, yeah. So that's the best name. So last night when I and my wife, we were coming from Canada, the GPS took us to Pennsylvania. I don't know why. And then it was raining, very heavy rain and thunderstorm for 2-3 hours. Kind of rain that I could not see my way. And it was too difficult and risky to drive. But I was driving 65, and the speed was 55. So the thing is, but I was careful, so. So I'm talking about the love of God. And I was driving and it was thunderstorm, like, you know, like explosion, the big voice, boom, and, you know, the light, and, you know, it was heavy rain and it was too scary. But I was not scared. My wife was. She was just holding that. So I told her, you are blocking my mirror. I want to see. But I was not. So, and then for a while, I thought with myself that, okay, so why you are not scared? Why this confidence? Why this trust? Is it coming from boldness or from courage or from foolishness or from what? Then I thought, no, it's coming from the Lord, from His love, because you experienced His love in a excellent way, an extreme way. And you have this confidence and you have this trust in the Lord that He said in Matthew chapter 28 that wherever you go, I'll be with you. So He's with me here. So I have that trust in Him and He was always with me. And I have this trust in me because Romans chapter 8 verse 31 to 39 says that you are saved and you are in the hands of God and no one can take your faith in God from you. No one can separate you from God. So you are with God and God is with you. That's the most important thing. Then I said, so what if something happened to me? Again, Romans chapter 14, verse 8. If I live, I will live for the Lord. And if I die, I will die to the Lord. So that's the confidence and that's the trust that I had in the Lord, I have in the Lord, and I was not scared of the thunderstorm and, you know, the rain and, you know, all those voices and the big light and it's like an explosion and, you know, you cannot see your way. And I was just driving and going with confidence. So then I thought for a while with myself that, so this trust and this confidence, it comes from His love because He loved me, as it's mentioned there. And I experienced His love in my life. It's not just a story that I heard from someone, God loves the whole world. No, I experienced this in my life in different situations. Those brothers and sisters who are from India, they know about those difficult situations in India that we had been facing. And in Afghanistan and in different places. So this, I experienced this love. So the thing is that, so how can we trust our Lord? How can we have this confidence in Him? How can we know that He loves us? This is a question for all of us. How can we have this trust? How can we have this confidence in our Lord, in Jesus Christ, that he loves us, that he is with us, that we are saved, that we are in his hands. We have this eternal life. We are saved. We will spend eternity with him. And he'll be there. He will be there all the time for us. So, we can have this confidence and trust only if we can experience his love in our life. So how I experience Jesus' love in my life, how I experience this love in my life, I experienced it in three ways. First, when I saw that Jesus was humble, when I saw that Jesus was meek, that he left his throne and he came to me, he came for me to forgive me. Oh, this humble person, he doesn't care who am I, how sinful am I, but he comes to me to save me. And he sacrificed his life for me, as Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 11 says. So when I saw his meekness and his humility, and when I saw that he's so humble that he leaves his everything and he comes to save me, I experienced his love in my life. That's a big thing for me. Why would God do this for me? I don't do that for people sometimes. So why would God care about me? Because he loves me. Because he's perfect and pure love. I'm not. But I'm praying that, you know, as I'm experiencing that love in my life, God may help me to reflect that love to others. And then when I saw that Jesus, he's so forgiving. And when I saw his grace, that wow, you are a sinner. Romans chapter 3 says, verse 23 and 24, that all have sinned, obeyed sin. But now I'm justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, he's so forgiving. He forgives. When I experience his grace, you know, that's a big thing for a sinner when he sees that, oh, I'm going to hell, but God says, no, I paid for your sins. Come to me. Come to heaven. Come to eternal life. Be with me. Stay with me. Be blessed. Don't go to hell. Don't worry. I'm here for you. So when I experience this, that Jesus is humble, when I experienced his grace that he's so forgiving, I experienced his love and I found this confidence and trust in him. This is the God that I can trust on him. So actually he created that trust, that spirit that I can trust, that spirit that I can have this confidence on him in me. And then the most important thing for me, all these three things are important, but the most important thing, when I saw that Jesus is a servant king, he came to serve, not to be served. Oh, then I thought, wow, God is here to serve me, to love me, to forgive me. It's too important. It's too important. You are nothing. You are no one. That's my identity. You are a sinner, an enemy of God, someone who is against God. And you don't deserve that. Even you don't expect that from God to serve you. But he said, I am here to serve you. I already served you. You didn't know. I'm here. I'll be with you. And I will serve you, as he says that in Philippians 2:7 and Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. That he's a servant king and he's here to serve us. So that's how I trust and I have confidence in the Lord, because I experienced his love in me as he became humble, as he showed his grace to me, and as he served me while I did not deserve that. While I still don't deserve his grace, I still don't deserve his meekness and his that he served me, but he did that. So what is my prayer for myself and for only for myself? I cannot speak for others, sorry. So my prayer for myself is that as I experience this love of Jesus Christ, As I experienced that he became so humble to sacrifice himself for me, as he became so forgiving to forgave my sins, to show his grace to me, and as he became so like meek and humble to serve me as servant, as I experienced this love, I pray for myself that, okay, Lord, help me now, that as I experience this, I can show the same kind of love, same kind of love to others. So how can I do that? How can I do that? How can I show the love of God, the agape love to others? How can I reflect his love? How can I be light and salt? These are big words. Oh, we are light and we are salt. So how? Salt is very cheap. It's only $2. You know, light is also $1. But how can be that light, light of God and salt? You know, the most expensive items in Canada is light, $1, and salt, maybe $2. But how can be that expensive light, that beautiful, that expensive salt, that beautiful salt in the world? It's when you learn from Jesus to be humble, to be humble and forgiving to others, towards other people, sinners, and to serve other people, serve other people. So when I obey this humble, by the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by his guidance, when obey this forgiving and showing grace to people, same grace that he experienced from Jesus, when he's a servant to other people, not a king to other people, then the Lord will use him to be a light and salt for the world. So I experience Jesus' love in an excellent way. Every day I experience his love in an excellent way, the most excellent way, as I see that Jesus was humble, as I see that he's forgiving, as I see that Jesus is a servant King. So please pray for me that I also become and live more like Jesus. Amen. God bless you.
Change positions without thinking about your stomach. It's coming, don't worry. Would you stand? And turn to Acts 27. This will be quick. Maybe. X's and O's. Wow. Just one verse. It's one of my favorite verses in the scriptures. I have, they're all my favorite, but this one really, where did I say? Acts 27. All right, okay. Let's look at two verses. Verse 24, an angel of God is standing by the apostle Paul, saying, "Fear not, Paul, for you must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given you all them that sail with you." I like that. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Father, thank you today. Thank you for the love, the mercy, the grace, the serving. Thank you for the words we've heard. I pray that you would just speak to us through your precious, holy, faithful, powerful, authoritative scriptures. Holy Spirit in us receiving from the Word. Thank you for this conference. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Good morning, because it's still morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. is a great verse. It says, love believes all things. A more excellent way in 1231, something above and beyond. Hyperbole, above and beyond. And then in 13:7, in one of the 16 qualities of God's love, there are 16 qualities of God's love in 1 Corinthians 13. One of them struck me this morning, and it was love believes all things. Love believes all things. Now, Matthew 28 is interesting. A resurrected Jesus. They saw him in Matthew 28:17, and it says, and some worshiped and some doubted. Can you imagine? A risen Christ, some worship and some doubt. That's incredible. By the way, the enemy is the great author of doubt and unbelief. Then in Acts 28, verse 24, as Paul was preaching in Rome, it said, some believe, some believe not. Some worship, some doubt, some believe not. And I think how interesting it is that when we are people who are motivated by God's love, who have a life living in receptivity to God's love, that produces faith. Many people, at times you hear them, I just wish I had more faith. I desire more faith. And really, it should be this: God, let me receive more of your love. Let me be receptive to this agape love. Because love produces faith, Galatians 5, verse 6. Now, Paul is here on this boat, and believe me, it's not a perfect storm, whatever that means. I hear people using that phrase sometimes, and I never could figure out what they're talking about. He's in the middle of a storm. Like, imagine his situation. He is arrested in Jerusalem. He is handed over to the Roman centurion. He's put on a boat to cross the Mediterranean, and they hit a storm. He's a prisoner in irons. He's a prisoner. He's on a boat with 276 people. I think that's a great congregation, isn't it? He's got himself a church. So just a moving church, a sailing church. And something's going on. There's a great storm that takes place, a Mediterranean storm, almost like Euroclydon. It was almost like a small cyclone, typhoon type of a thing. And everybody begins to fear for their life. Fear for their life. Has that ever happened to you? He said he had no fear in that storm. Well, I know what that means. Actually, when I was young, I used to go outside in lightning storms with a golf club. Just challenging what I thought was God. Thank God he was merciful. And so he's in the middle of this incredible storm, and this boat is moving, and there he is. And they started to live in incredible fear, and so Paul came forward, and he spoke to all 276 of them. He said, fear not, for the angel of God whom I am, and I like how that says, whom I am and whom I serve. He spoke to me today. He spoke to me tonight. And I love 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful to keep that which has been committed unto me until that day. And Paul steps forward and says three of the most powerful words. Actually, it's maybe even less in the original language. He says, I believe God. Amen. There's that one word that stands between me and God. You know what it is? Believe. There's I and there's God. And that, don't get stuck in the middle, okay? Many times people muddle up the middle. I believe God. I believe God. That, and I love the second part of it, that it'll be exactly as he told me. The more excellent way is to believe God. And when we believe God, it's because God loves us, and that love produces a faith in us. Now think of the other ways that Paul could have gone. And who was on that boat? There were sailors some old mariners on that boat. Paul didn't say, I believe these sailors. There was a captain that was on the boat. The Apostle Paul didn't say, I believe the captain of the boat. There was the ship's owner. He was on the boat. He didn't say, I believe the owner of the boat. There was a centurion on the boat, and Paul didn't say, I believe the owner or the centurion on the boat. There was 100 soldiers on the boat, and Paul didn't say, I believe the soldiers on the boat. Even Luke and Aristarchus were on the boat, and Paul didn't say, I believe my friends, my Christian friends, I believe them on the boat. Didn't say that at all. He didn't say, I believe me. He didn't say, I believe sight, I believe circumstances. He definitely didn't say, I believe the devil and I believe demons. He made a simple statement which can change my life on a daily basis. In every area of life, I believe God. Amen? Oh, that's so sophisticated, isn't it? It's so complicated. You know, there's a lot of people today, Christians, even preachers, it's so complicated. Like, just say it, will you? Like, you know, you got to go around the 72 ways and come at it, intertwine it with all kinds of ideas and whatnot. Simply say it. He said, I believe God will be exactly as he told me. Hello? Simply saying it, believing God. And this is the key. This is what makes the difference in the Apostle Paul's life. Some believe and some, what? Doubt it. Some worship and some doubt it. By the way, do you know what schizophrenia is? It's actually a Greek word. It comes from a Greek word. It means to have something cut into your mind. Are you with me? You know what spiritual schizophrenia is? We know what it is. I used to deal with people that had schizophrenia years ago. But spiritual schizophrenia is I got a double mind. I got a double mind. I'm double-minded, James 1:8, James 4:8, 1 Kings 17 through 19. How long will you halt between two opinions? And God says, listen, don't believe yourself. How often do we believe ourselves in our own evaluation of a situation? We believe ourselves and attach something to it and then say, praise the Lord. When we're really believing, I'm just believing me. I'm believing my understanding instead of simply, I believe God. Why? Because he loves me. Do you believe God loves you? Raise your hand if you believe God loves you. I didn't say raise your hand if you experience it right now. But do you believe God loves you? Well, then that's going to produce faith. I believe God loves me and I believe God. Absolutely. I believe God. I believe God for the next step in my life. Hello? I don't have any plan at all to stop doing what I'm doing. You know? Are you kidding me? Huh? There's one way to stop. You go down. That's it. That's earthly retirement. I believe God. I said to my wife, we have to have a plan from 70, and we're over that now, 70 to 80, and then 80 to 90. Something very clear. We're praying about what we should do, 10 and 10, next 20 years. And then we get to that place, and then what about the next 10? You got me, Pastor Luigi? We're going to like 100. I believe God. And if I'm not here tomorrow, I don't really care. It doesn't matter, you know? Because I simply believe God. And Paul is in the middle of 276 unbelievers. What kind of atmosphere is that? Remember Pastor Stevens' messages on the faith atmosphere? Remember that? How did he term it? How did he use what were faith fields? Faith fields. And there's nothing but negativity. There's nothing but unbelief everywhere. You walk into your job, you walk into your neighborhood, you could be with your family. Some churches. Oh, Pastor, get up tonight. Gets up and says, I hope we can make the offering this week. That's great. You just kill that one off. I hope we can. I believe God. We're going to have the finances. I believe God is going to change me. You believe it? I believe God. He's going to lead me. Do you believe that God's going to lead you? and lead myself, oh boy, to a valley of destruction. I believe God, he's going to protect me. I love it. You know, can you imagine the storm breaks up the ship and they come in on boards? As Pastor Chris Armin says, that was surfing, the first time that anybody ever went surfing. Are you here, Pastor Chris? Yeah, surfing. And then listen to this. So they just about get off. The boat breaks up. They're coming on boards in a Euro Clyde, a storm. They get to the shore. He gets bit by a snake. Like, when is this going to end? He's on a barbarian island. He's warming himself by a fire, soaking wet, and a snake bites him. Shakes it off. Because he believes God. And by the way, Paul's imprisonment is what sent the gospel into all the world. Because centurions who got converted, or soldiers, they had 16 soldiers a day watching him. Are you trying to tell me he didn't preach? Hello? He says it. Read Acts 28 and read 2 Timothy chapter 4. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known. He was preaching. It was a king that once said, when the guy puts the sword up to cut your head off, if you lose faith then, you got a problem. Michael the Brave, it happened to. They went to cut his head off because he was a Christian, and the sword dropped out of the guy's hand, and he got saved. Deliver. I believe God. Oh, what's happening? Conspiracy against me in Jerusalem. I'm arrested, I'm put in prison, I have to stand before Caesar. I get on a boat with chains, 276 people. The boat goes down, we come in on boards, we're freezing to death, we could be sick, we land on an island with barbarians, I get bit by a snake. Doesn't change a thing. I believe God. And I like the second part of it. It says in the King James English, even as it was told me. It doesn't say that. It says exactly as he told me. Exactly what this Bible says. Amen? I believe all the promises of God are in him, yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. I believe God. I believe God for reconciliation in people's lives. I believe God for the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. I believe God for something coming into my life from the Holy Spirit that takes away insecurity. I believe God that he can deliver me from anxiety. I believe God to give me a self-image in Christ and do away with that poor self-image. I believe God for preachers, missionaries, pastors, men and women of God, young people changing this world, because no government's going to do it. Hello. How are you going to want to see America is going to change if we have this, and we got this person in, and this political party? Get ridiculous. So ridiculous. I believe God for America. Amen? Amen. I believe God. By the way, America at one time had 175,000 missionaries sent out. It was amazing. This is where so much of missions, 90% of all missions came from this country. So don't you ever say a negative thing about the United States of America. 90% of all missions money and 90% of all missionaries came from this country. Hello? God raised it up. I'm not talking about what's going on in other realms. I don't care about that. I care about the churches. Amen? I hear some people make some little funny remarks sometimes. I'm not saying anybody here, but I just hear people, hey, why don't you go live someplace? Go to Australia. Whatever, go ahead. I'm not a love it or leave it guy. Okay, I didn't say that. But I believe God for our country, amen? I believe God for a church. I believe God for new souls. I believe God for church growth. I believe God for change. I believe God that I can know him. I believe God I can grow. Simply, I and God, and in the middle is believe. I believe God. I believe God for deliverance. I believe God for drug addiction to end. God, I came off of drugs in 1 second after 16 years of being high every day. It took 1 second. not a psychological, systematic, programmatic bunch of nonsense. Sorry. I believe what? I believe God. It should be exactly as He told me. Father, thank you today. Thank you. I believe God, you're going to have a great lunch. I believe God. Say this phrase with me. Simple faith defeats sophisticated darkness. Simple faith, clear faith, precise faith. Have faith in God. Brother Cooley used to call me up. His name was Brother Cooley. He called me up on the radio when we did radio in the 80s in Springfield. And he says, this Pastor Shibeli, I wasn't a pastor. And he says, I want to sing you a little song. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. He does miracles. Have faith. Have faith in God. Then he put the phone down. He did that for a year every week. Have faith in God. One day I was evangelizing on the streets and I heard a voice behind me going, have faith in God. It was him. I said, it's you. He goes, yes, now you can see my face. I want you to simply have faith in God. Amen. I believe God. So Father, thank you. Bless our time here. We would see incredible things happen in us and around us. Bless our day today. In Jesus' name, I believe God. Delivered from spiritual schizophrenia. We thank you. We thank you for the perfect God with a perfect plan in an imperfect storm. In Jesus' name, amen.